Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
Where does the structure and organization of Christian worship come from? What are some ideas about how it's best accomplished? Let's go in depth with Reverend Brian Nolder, pastor with Christ the Redeemer Church, Pella, and Jeffrey Myers, pastor of Providence Reformed Presbyterian Church in St. Louis, Missouri.
Well, Pastor Myers, I understand you're coming to the Pella area soon.
Yes, sir. I'll be there this Friday. It's my second time. I was there, was it last year, Brian, or 2 years ago?
November 08.
It was a while ago. Time flies when you're getting old.
And you're speaking about the drama of worship.
Yes, about the structure and the experience of worship, of Christian worship, yes.
What is that basic structure?
Well, many Christian churches have a tradition of worship, which is good. It's great. And unfortunately, the last 50 years or so, the tradition of most Christian churches has largely been abandoned. That tradition is rooted in the Scriptures, rooted in Old and New Testament, and it has to do with the way in which God approaches us, or the way in which God draws us near, and the steps or order in which He does that. And so what I've been trying to do for many years is try to reintroduce God's people into that order, that structure, that biblical drama, if you will, of what the Lord is doing to us, with us, for us on the Lord's Day, and the way He does it. So that's in summary, that's what it is.
Where did that original structure come from theologically?
Yeah, the original structure comes actually from, you know, what we call the Old Testament, but it's the Hebrew Scriptures. It's the people of God called out of Egypt and then given very explicit instructions about what we call sacrificial worship in the Old Testament. That sacrificial worship, although we don't do exactly that anymore because there's no bloody worship, there's no animals, there's no altar, there's no temple, that worship gives us the patterns, gives us the forms, the order in which God is approached. And I'm going to hopefully lay that out for the people and explain to them how our Christian worship is rooted in those forms and orders in the Old Testament.
Now, is that form and order important for tradition's sake, or is it the importance of learning as well, or one or the other?
Well, I mean, the reason I mentioned tradition at the beginning is because Christians for thousands of years recognized that the Bible does give us this basic form or order of worship. And every Christian actually instinctively who knows the Bible kind of knows this. You know, you come into God's presence, you praise Him, then you realize He's a holy God and you need to confess your sins. And then you find assurance of forgiveness in His Word and in Christ and His death and resurrection. And then you sit and learn from the Scriptures all sorts of things that God wants to teach us and instruct us in. And then there's a time of just communion and fellowship where we delight in Him. Now, we do this kind of thing as individuals in our prayer life, but it's also the case that the corporate church has done that in her life together, gathered on the Lord's Day every week, and that's kind of fallen out of practice. I mean, you can now have worship services in America, at least, where you don't go through that basic order. God doesn't, and you don't receive the gifts, I believe, that God wants to give to His people, because you've abandoned that for a kind of entertainment style worship, which is very minimal, which includes a speech, a sermon from the pastor. But beyond that, there's at least the ordinary, traditional, and I believe biblical patterns are submerged or sometimes just entirely absent.
More in depth after this. continued my conversation about the organization of Christian worship with Reverend Brian Nolder and Reverend Jeffrey Myers.
And why is this important to you, Brian?
I think one of the things that was revolutionary to me about Pastor Myers' teaching, the title of his book is The Lord's Service, and what people may not realize is that that's kind of has a double meaning. It's not only the service that we offer to the Lord, but it's also the way that God actually is willing to serve us. And that's sort of what was revolutionary to me, was the idea that, you know, because sort of the popular conception today is, well, in worship, Christians are the actors and God is the audience. You know, he's kind of sitting up there watching us, you know, hopefully receiving some praise from us. And certainly there's an aspect of which we are there to serve God. But in the book of Exodus, it says, every place I cause my name to dwell, I will come and bless you. And so that idea that God is actually coming, that he's present in the service, and that he's blessing us through very humble means, you know, a guy standing up and reading the Bible, talking about it, bread and wine, you know, very humble means, and yet God chooses these means as a way of coming and blessing us, nourishing us, strengthening us, equipping us to be able to go out and serve him in the week to come.
And why do you think that the many churches got away from this traditional way of worship?
You know, I think Brian ought to do this conference. He just said it pretty well. and let me echo what Brian just said. It's not about me coming in and saying, you know, everybody's getting all these details wrong, and, you know, there's this traditional kind of set form of doing things, and so nitpicking about, you know, not getting this right or not getting this form down or jettisoning this order or something. It really is about clearing the path, clearing the way so that the Lord can do what he wants to do, give what he wants to give to his people. And there are all these gifts that he gives us on the Lord's Day through word and sacrament and through just the participation of God's people. The Spirit works through the people to gift us with all these things, assurance, forgiveness, and that's what it's all about. So it's not about, you know, me scolding people or churches for not getting these little things right that tradition has passed on to us. It's about recognizing that within the common tradition, God has God works. God has worked in a special way, and abandoning those things really impoverishes the people of God, and they don't receive what they ought to be receiving from the Lord on the Lord's Day. So that's what it's all about.
I think there might be a lot of answers to the question you just asked, Bob. And I think one of them is that a lot of churches, a lot of pastors have sort of lost confidence in the means of grace. That's kind of the technical term we use, the means that God has appointed to bless his people. And I think they've looked at popular culture, and they've seen that thousands of people flock to movie theaters, thousands of people flock to concerts, thousands of people flock to athletic events, and I think they sort of ask themselves, well, how can we get that happening at our church where thousands of people will flock here? And so there's been a move toward trying to fashion worship into entertainment rather than into this idea of covenant renewal. And so I think that's what's been happening in a lot of churches in the last 30 years that has kind of led to sort of moving away from this biblical order that we're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, and I would add to that, too, honestly, I think that the way traditional, quote-unquote traditional worship is often performed in many traditional churches is less than inspiring, to say the least. Many churches have just kind of decided, well, you know, we're just going to continue this traditional way of doing it, but there's no explanation to the people. There's no life anymore. There's no energy. And so it's slow. and it's rather boring. And although God can certainly work through that, I think lots of churches are missing what a traditional church can be, a lively and inspiring experience that a traditional service can be. And I think that's another problem.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation about the organization of Christian worship with Reverend Brian Nolder and Reverend Jeffrey Myers.
So you're shaking up, it sounds like, maybe the traditional churches as well as taking on some of the new movements to be more popular, more entertaining. You're taking on them both.
That's a very good way of putting it. Whenever I say the word liturgy or talk about a traditional church service, most of my contemporaries will think, oh my, you know, no, this is just a rote, boring, slow, quiet, and something that really won't inspire or be engaging to modern people. And that's just not what that's not what the Bible envisions at all. I mean, psalm singing in the Bible is vigorous and loud and musical, with all sorts of instruments, and the like. And I think, I guess what's happened in American culture is that the traditional service has become lifeless because lots of traditional churches have lost their life. And if you don't have any, if the spirit's not there and you don't have life, then the forms become rather dull and dead.
Pastor Myers has a former seminarian at his church who's a pastor out in California, and I think he describes his worship as refreshingly traditional.
Mm-hmm.
The idea being that, you know, it's a form that a Christian from 1,000 years ago could probably walk into and identify, and yet it is full of life. It's very, one of the things that I like to describe our church as is, you know, joyfully serious and seriously joyful, you know, as a way of sort of just capturing this idea that we can be vigorous, we can be enthusiastic. I think Charles Wesley talked about singing lustily unto the Lord, and yet in a way that really respects the biblical form, and tries to respect the history of the Christian tradition at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah, and also respects and understands that we're Americans, or we're, you know, we're in Pella, or we're in St. Louis, or we're wherever we're at, and this is not about reproducing some ancient liturgy and just dropping it down, you know, in South County and St. Louis. We still need to make sure that our liturgies are local and they speak to our people, and the music and the language is the language and the music that we understand, that we relate to. So this is not, you know, a liturgical romanticism where we're just, you know, I'm going to take, you know, some liturgy of the 15th, 16th century Reformation and just kind of drop it in with all the language and music. No, that's not it either. It respects the biblical patterns, the traditional forms, and the wisdom that the Spirit has led the church in, but it also relates to wherever we are, because we do have to minister to real people in real locations.
Well, I find it interesting that you're not just speaking to other pastors. You're speaking to the layperson, the members of the congregation. You're going beyond the pastors. Why is that?
Well, I think we'd love to have pastors come to this because we think that they set the vision for their churches, but we also think that what's laid out here is sort of, you know, it's not technical. It's sort of a simple pattern that, as Pastor Myers said, a lot of people understand this from their personal prayer life and devotion life. And so it's not, you know, it's something that we think the entire church in the area will benefit from.
Yeah. But on the other hand, I'm certainly not, and I need to be careful here. I don't want to encourage some sort of, you know, rebellion or movement within these churches against, you know, what these local churches have instituted as worship. It's a dangerous tightrope to walk. I mean, I don't want to encourage a bunch of critical, you know, connoisseurs of worship in various churches who are always sniping at the leadership because they're not doing it a certain way. it's dangerous. But yeah, and the other thing I'd say too is, okay, we began by critiquing some of the modern American evangelical ways of worship, but at the same time, a believer who is armed with the kind of information I'm going to give them at the conference, say, and is looking for how the Lord works in worship, we'll see, and I think this is true, and you know, I'm a local pastor, so I'm not able to visit around all that much, but I do visit a variety of different churches. But a layman will see in whatever church they're in that it's hard to escape this basic order of worship where you come into God's presence, you pray, you confess your sins, you receive forgiveness, you hear his instruction, you make petitions to him, you come to the Lord's table, you receive strength and food and nourishment and peace and fellowship with one another, and then you're sent out on a mission with God's blessing. You know, that order may not be as visible and as obvious in many churches, but it's usually there. And so a believer who understands this and can look for that and appropriate God's service to him in his service, even if it isn't done in the best and maybe most efficient way. Even if a believer's current church is not doing, you know, everything that they could in terms of make this structure, this order, this service that God gives us evident to God's people, it's usually there, and they just, if they look for it and if they receive it, then that's a good thing. In other words, I'm not trying to create a bunch of connoisseurs and critics of worship in local churches.
Now, where and when is this conference again?
The conference is Saturday at Ebenezer Reformed Church in Lytton. It's a ministry of Christ the Redeemer Church. RedeemerPella.org is our website.
Thanks to Reverend Brian Nolder and Reverend Jeffrey Myers for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.